Well, good morning to you all. If you know me at all, you know that I usually wear the clothes from where I just traveled, so you can guess where I've just been. So we literally just walked in off the plane from Hawaii the last 2 weeks, and here we are. And the plane got delayed an hour, so we were worried that we would not make this quite right, but just on time. How are you? Aloha, I should say that too, right? Yeah. It's an old story that that I've used a long time. I was a young pastor up in Oregon. Boy, this is almost 40 years ago now, 35 years ago. Dwight Nelson and I, other pastors, we all worked in the youth tent at the camp meeting. Huge, big tent. And we got a new youth director, and he was so cool, and this was his first talk in front of the Oregon Conference. And he said, I was driving from this place to this place, and there was a big sign that said, happiness is a Slurpee. And he thought, boy, I could use some happiness right now. I was hot, tired. Drives into the 7-Eleven and says, I need some happiness. She gives him a Slurpee. She goes out. He goes out to his car. He's got to keep moving. You can't just sit there and drink it. So he puts it between his legs, and he starts up the car, and he starts to go backwards. He looks in the mirror, and he realizes a big truck is going behind him. Slams on his brakes, and what? Spills his happiness all over his lap. And he said, I thought happiness was a Slurpee, but I learned a lesson. Happiness is only in knowing Jesus Christ. Amen? And 1,000 people clapped and said, this guy is the greatest. Is it true that Jesus makes an absolute difference and is the ultimate source of happiness? Or does it really not make that much of a difference? It really is based on money or other kinds of things. And the passage that as we divided up these passages, I have Matthew 13. There's a story of the sower and the seeds. You know the story. I'm not going to read a whole chapter for you today. The whole story is Matthew chapter 13. The sower goes out to sow the seed, and there's four different kinds of soil. The first one is very bad. It's hard ground. Nothing happens. It dies. The second and third, it starts and it begins to go, but then trouble and suffering and partying, and it all stops. Then number four are people who have a soft heart for God. And they allow the word of God and the gospel of the kingdom to go down deep into their lives. And it says they multiply 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times. That's the story. And Jesus is saying it can only happen through him. There is no other way, no one else that can do this. You go to the bank, and what are you getting in your interest today? Maybe a tenth of 1% or half of 1% if you're lucky. You get into my zone of life, and you begin to think about how you're going to have enough retirement to go to the end of your life. You are happy if you can get 3%, 4%. For the rest of your life. They say that if you go to college, when you look at your lifetime earnings, you will get double if you compared to if you only went to high school. If you go get a master's degree, you will get triple what you would have gotten. If you get a doctorate, you'll get four times as much. This is 100 times as much. This is 3,000% compared to people who don't have Jesus. 6,000%, 10,000% over people who don't have Jesus. And Jesus says, it's only me that can do this for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? That's what the story says. And it is not just down here. The Bible says in Matthew 19, verses 29, that whatever you give up for Jesus, he says, I'll make it up to you 100 to 1 and life eternal. It's popular today. I was reading a book on our trip If someone said, you know, it is not all about heaven and kingdom someday. It's now. It's kingdom now. Enjoy. Build your life now. But the Bible's pretty clear. It's not a choice. You don't have to make that choice. The Bible says, I'll give you 100 to 1 here in this life, 10,000% and eternal life. You don't have to choose between these two kingdoms. You can have the best of both. Well, it's an old parable that I wrote years and years ago when I was preaching on this passage. So I'm just going to bring it up here in a short version. This is before the days when Tiger Woods messed up. So this is back when Tiger Woods was on top. And I'm sitting at my desk and working on my sermon at Riverside. And all of a sudden the phone rings and it's Tiger Woods on the phone. All right, just remember the word parable, all right? And he says, we were on the radio then, KSGN, and he said, I've been listening to you as I'm driving around here, and I love your picture of God, and then listening to you, I have become a Christian. He grew up as a Buddhist. And he says, you have changed my life, and I want to do something for you. I want you to meet me at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Sunday afternoon. So I drove down to Beverly Hills Hotel. I walked in the door. Here's Tiger Woods. And he shakes my hand and he says, you've been a great blessing to me, Pastor Dan. I want to do something for you. Drives me out to this car dealership that's got Hyundai and Ford and Jaguar. And he says, I want you to pick out a car. I'm going to buy a car for you today. The Hyundais were about 20,000. Escalades, maybe 40,000. Jaguar, 80,000. Well, I'm a pastor. I thought I should be humble. I'll take a Hyundai. He said, why? I'm Tiger Woods. I am rich. Come on. Okay. I'll do the Escalade. He says, why? Why would you take the Escalade when you can have a Jaguar? I said, I can't afford the insurance. I can't afford the maintenance. I'll never keep up with that. He said, you're never going to pay a penny for this car. I'm paying for the insurance. I'm paying for the payment. I'm paying for the gas. I'm paying for everything. You will never pay anything. I said, okay. I'll take the Jaguar. But it's black, and I keep it at Riverside. I only drive it at night. That's why you've never seen it. And I have made the point every time. I preached this in college a couple weeks ago in the Philippines. If God is paying for it all, why not go for the best? Why would you stop at the 30 or the 60? Go for the 100. You have a choice where you want to go with life. This story is not that you are destined to be at one of those stages. Some of you are destined to be the hard ground. Some of you are destined to start but then stop. Some of you will be the 30. Some will be the 60. Some of you will be the 100. No, this story is all of you. God made you to be a 100-fold person. God made you to flourish and to be the best. These are other stages you go through on the way, but God wants you and can make you a 100-fold person. That's the story. And it's up to you to decide where you want to go with that. You don't have to stop at any one of those earlier stages. C.S. Lewis, the famous quote, which somehow I didn't get into the screen, in Weight of Glory, it is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses. To remember that somehow the most uninteresting person you can talk to down here will someday be a creature that if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship. That every human being, no matter where you start, you can go through all those stages from 30 to 60 to 100 and be a fantastic person that is making a huge difference in the world. There's always somebody that pops up and says, no. This is dirt. Dirt is dirt. Dirt just sits there. Dirt has no choice. The dirt is what it is. You are what you are, and God has already determined who you are going to be. And God has determined that some people will be the hard ground, that nothing even starts there. And God has determined that some people will kind of struggle and start, but they won't make it. And God has determined that some will be the 30, and some will be the 60, and some will be the 100. You don't have a choice. You're just dirt, and God is the one who has decided it all. They call it predestination. You're just the dirt. And what you are is what you will be. You have no choice about it. No. That is not the point of the story. The point of the story is the sower gives this seed out to everybody, and you choose which of those soils you want to be. It is your heart. You choose. Do you want to have a hard or struggle, or do you want to be 30 or 60 or 100? It is up to you to choose where you want to go in it. Everybody in life has to choose between these two variables. Do you see God as the one who makes most of these decisions and choices, or is it you? Who is the variable? Is it you or is it God? Some people are healed and some people are not healed. They both pray and they say, must be God's will. Some people are rich, some people are poor. People say, must be God. Some people have a disaster, some people have everything work out and everything goes right. Must be God. Some people are smart and talented. Some people are 7 foot tall and can play basketball and make $25 million a year. Other people are not. God, 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 God. They think God is choosing all these decisions. No, this story is that it's your choice. Where on this scale do you want to be of 30, 60, 100? It's your choice. God is passing out the soil. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, 45, he says, the sun and the rain shine on the just and the unjust. God loves everybody. God gives the same to everybody. Jesus is the one who died for everybody. The Holy Spirit is working for everybody. God is the constant. You and I are the variable. You and I choose what level you want to live. At topping at 30, you're leaving some money on the table because you could go all the way to 100. And you decide. My mother is 88. And she decided a few days ago that she was going to move, sell her house, and move into what they call a retirement home in Loma Linda. She's threatened it before, but she finally is doing it. She sold her house this week, and it's going to happen. So now my brothers and I are in the game of who gets some of this stuff that's in the house. We all have houses already full of stuff, but there are a few things that are precious to our family. And the most precious things are two elephants that are there in the front of the house. These are elephants like this from Chiang Mai, Thailand, where we grew up. And we have all been waiting to get those elephants. There's only two, but there's four of us. So who's going to get those two elephants? Nathan's father or me? But it's very clear, I'm the oldest. Shouldn't I be first? They weren't even born when we went to Chiang Mai. Why should they get these elephants, see? But my mother is also very clear. I love you all equal. Equal. So we're going to have to draw straws and figure out who gets this elephant. And God says, I give the seed to everybody. Jesus dies for everybody. I love you all the same. I am not picking and choosing between people. I am not the one who chooses the soils. That's up to you and your choice. Now the next question. What is this harvest? When Jesus says, I can multiply your life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, what is that? It's probably not money, because lots of people have money who have nothing to do with God. And it's probably not vacations, because there was lots of people where I just was that were not godly, righteous people. And they were at the same beaches and the same place I was. This is where we were, Kealia Beach in Kauai. And we sat in the jacuzzi with people who had wine and beer while we were there with them. And so evidently it's probably not that. So when Jesus says, I can make your life 30 times, 60 times, 100 times better than those people who don't have Jesus, what is it? What is it that he offers? And I would just say, number one, I got four F's. Number one is freedom from. You're free from certain things. If you are a follower of Jesus, it means you don't have hangovers. It means hopefully you won't be in jail. It means you won't wake up on Sunday morning with regret for whatever you did on Saturday night the night before, because you're a follower of Jesus. So some things don't come your way. You can minimize some of those things. And if you don't drink and you don't smoke and you eat carefully, you can live 10 or 12 years longer. There's some benefits because you are following a God life, and it's 30-fold or more. Number two, I put down friends and family. Life is not buying stuff. You know, you could buy all these things. They say, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins, but you still die and have none of the toys. We have a friend who, they just retired in front of us a few years, and so we're watching them, and they said, Pastor Dan, we decided we don't want our retirement to be about stuff that we accumulate. We want it to be about experiences. The people that you do like, most people would say it's your friends. When you come to the end of your life, it is the friends that you had. There's the people that make life rich. And we would say, when you come into the church, you get rich. And you get 30 times, 60 times, 100 times what other people have. Because you have these people. Yes, there's a few crazy people in the church. Nobody here, but other places. But if you have a taste of this, we've been in this game a long time. We go from church to church, and every church we add another 50 or 100 or 200 people that go onto our Christmas list, and they become part of our lives and part of who we are, and we love them, and we go on mission trips, and we hang out together, and we have you all, and it's just, it makes life richer when you have all these people, and these guys are going to go to Brazil together, and they're going to do stuff. And you have these people in your life. And God says, if you'll just have a soft heart and a tender heart with me, I will multiply your life. And a lot of that is the people that he adds to your life. It's family. Yes, you can have a family without God. But the evidence is crystal clear is that your family will be very different if you are both of God. The divorce rate is way skewed to those people where both or one of them is not with God. But if you are both with God and going to church, the divorce rate is very, very low. And you are blessed with that. Number three, I'm going to say is fulfillment. It's fulfillment. There's just something when you are filled with God and you have already gone through that struggle phase where the seed is starting and is struggling to get started. And then you go to the 30-fold and the 60-fold. And you begin to just be anointed. And your life is blessed. And you are blessing people. And you are dialed into what you were made to do in the world. And your life just feels fulfilled. It is an amazing side to your life. And I just wanted to say, it may not be that you will have more money, but you will have a sense of fulfillment that you cannot trade any other way. We're going to pray for the Brazil group in a few minutes. And they're going to get on a plane this week and go to Brazil and be on a boat. You cannot trade those experiences in your life. When Jesus says, I will multiply your life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100, it is in these experiences that he adds to your life. Being in a band, going to beach vespers, all the stuff that you do, fulfillment. Number four, I'm going to call it force. When people are full of God and the kingdom is working in your life, you just become a force. You have impact. You make a difference. They talk about gravitas in the public literature. People who have weightiness, they count. When they talk, you listen to them. They have wisdom. They're powerful. They are a force in the world. They are the Mother Teresa's, and they just have impact. And you're living a life that's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. While I was gone, we had this come through. We were in Da Nang in Vietnam. We stood there on a piece of property that they did not have the money for, $120,000. They took all of our property 40 years ago. And they finally gave us back another piece of property that said, here, you can use it, but you have 2 years to build on it. The picture was earlier, sorry. And we did not have the $120,000. I had no idea where to get it. I committed to $10,000. All I can tell you is this week, the last of that money was found. Our $10,000 went in 2 days ago. Another $9,000 is going on Monday. And in 1st of September, the whole $120,000 is there. And that church will be built for the glory of God. That's force. Because some people sat down in a restaurant in March and just said, God wants this church. We stood there in a circle and said, there has to be a church here in a year. And they've invited me to go next year and dedicate that church and be the first one to preach a crusade in that church. I read a book about Jimmy Carter on the trip. 90-something years old. Just was in Canada last week building houses. He has built hundreds and thousands of houses all over the world with Habitat for Humanity. He's just a farmer, a peanut farmer in Georgia. Became a nuclear engineer, submariner, became governor, became president. He wasn't perfect as a president, but he has done a lot. He has a foundation that just wipes away certain diseases in Africa. They're gone. There's nobody sick with that disease anymore because of Jimmy Carter's foundation. And when you allow your life to come with God into your life, you become 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, and you become a force to change the world. And a group of guys started a little TV station down in Southern Illinois, and now that's 3ABN all over the world. Quiet Hour. My grandfather started a little radio show that is now Quiet Hour Ministries. It goes all over the world. People who have force. And Ellen White says, there is no limit to the usefulness of someone who puts aside self and makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit. A couple more points here quickly. Compartmentalization. You can take this parable of Matthew 13 and look at it another way. You can look at it that it's just one person, but areas in your life. And we probably all have areas in our life that are like the good soil, that are just good. And we are doing great, and we're going to church, and we're close to God, and we are anointed in that area, and we are blessing people, and bad stuff is going away, and God is blessing that area in your life. You got some other areas that you're kind of struggling. You're trying to get over it, trying to get that out of the way, but it's going. But sometimes you have one place in your life that you're not letting God touch. And just say, and it's hard ground. And the gospel goes there, and you just shuck it off and just say, okay, that's not for you, God. Stay out of that room in my life. I got this word from President Clinton's situation. Some of you aren't really old enough to remember all of that. Anyway, we went through it. Here's this president. He's young. He's smart. He's got passion. He's fighting for poor and justice all over the world. And yet he lets a 21-year-old kid come into the Oval Office and does some stupid things with her. And he finally had to go to counseling. And someone asked him, how could someone who was doing so much good over here somehow let this happen in your life? And the counselor gave him the word compartmentalization. You're not integrated. This part is over here, and this part is here, and this part of your life is not talking to that part. And it gets compartmentalized, and you leave this one part over here, and it's hard ground, even though God is blessing this other area. Our son, we were together the last couple of weeks. We did a lot of talking about where he teaches at school. And he said the English teacher at that school here a few weeks ago had an assignment where you had to memorize 50 quotations. And you had to go find another teacher and talk to them and say, and give the quote. And that teacher had to sign. But it turned out these people weren't going to teachers. They were saying it to someone else in the class. And then the kids were forging the signatures of their teachers. And finally the teacher said, you got one day to fess up or you'll get a much worse grade. And 24 of the 27 kids had to admit they'd been forging signatures. These are kids at an Adventist school that are paying $9,000 a year to go to a Christian school. They're in church. They're good kids. But they've got a compartment over here that God hasn't gotten to yet. It's hard ground. And Jesus says, if you hold on to one area in your life, it will eventually eat away the rest of it. And you will cheat yourself of your 30 and 60 at 100-fold. Last area is church. I think you can take this parable and look at it as a cycle of what happens with a church. I've been thinking a lot about it. Tony and I had some texting going back and forth. There were some things happening with he and I were working with at the church. And he said something about some people have a hard time, Pastor Dan, with change in the church. So we began to talk about that. You know, there's why my generation probably, they see change and they struggle to see how can people change that. That's the way it's supposed to be. How can you change that? Other people are saying, come on, we're ready for the church to change. That's boring. That's old. It's time to get irrelevant with our society. And the process of change is difficult. And so we wrestled a little bit with that whole issue of change. When we were at La Sierra, we put screens up. You should have seen the people come unglued when we put screens up. And people say, we're never going to have the Bible again. When we put at Andrews University, there used to be a huge pulpit. Someone took that and burned it and just said, okay, that's going to be gone. And so we wrestle with this issue of church. Sarah, bear with me. I got 2 or 4 more minutes. How long do I have? I need a couple more minutes than that. So just bear with me, because I'm gonna nail this down. Whenever you get frustrated with the church, you have to look back and say, where was the church before? And where is it going now? In my lifetime, black people could not eat in the General Conference cafeteria. In my lifetime, women could not be paid equal pay. In my lifetime, we had these issues in the church that were not much fun. Do you really want to go back to a time when we did in-gathering? You've heard of in-gathering? We would go down the street door to door for 5 hours every night for 6 weeks in Christmas time with a little sound system on the top of your car, and you went to the door and asked for money. One night I put a dollar in that can hoping people would get the idea to put more money in there. And after 5 hours, I had $1.25 in that can. We did it in Chicago. It was 4 degrees below zero. I came back to the house. Hilda had her feet in a pound of hot water. She said, I will never do that again. Somebody finally figured out, that's a bad idea. Stop it. And the church changed. 30 years ago, nobody was allowed to wear jewelry and get baptized, wearing anything, wedding ring, jewelry, any kind. 30 years ago, there was no praise team, there was no drums, there was no keyboard, there was no pictures on the screen. 30 years ago, none of that was allowed. I was the first church to allow the Heritage Singers to sing in our church. We were the first college church to have a contemporary service in the church service. Whenever you get frustrated with the church, you have to go back and look. Where was it before? It was a 30, and now maybe it's a 60, and now God is taking it to 100. Someday it's going to come. Do you really want to go back to what it was before Maury Vendon gave us the gospel? Before Maury Vendon talked about the assurance of salvation, do you really want to go back to that? And I just want to say to you, anytime you get frustrated by the church, be thankful that it is here and not where it used to be. And then we look forward to the day when it's going to become something else. I said to Tony, let's have a retreat. And let's talk about the church of our dreams, what it's going to be someday when it becomes 100. It may not happen in my time. Maybe my generation was able to go from 30 up to 50 or 60. And my generation will fade away from the scene, and we will hand it off to Sarah, to Tony, and all the others, and you. And your generation will take it to the next level. And someday, it's going to be the church of what we want it to be. It's not yet. But Jesus is saying in this parable, there are stages, and be thankful. But God wants the church to someday be this kingdom of heaven that's going to be 100-fold, multiplying people full of anointment, and is blessed and powerful. The Bible says it's like a relay race, and the first group goes around, then they hand the baton to the second group, then they go to the third group. When you're done with your part of the race, you get off the track and you cheer for the last group. And my group may not be the one that goes to the end. We're going to have to get off the track, and we will hand it off to the next generation, to you, and you will finish it and you'll take it home. And someday, Jesus is using this parable to say, someday we are going to have a church that is 100-fold, that is anointed and doing the work of God and the kingdom of God. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God bless you all.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. It's amazing. He just got off a plane and he's able to still make clear thoughts. It's really great. At this point, I'm going to invite the Brazil group to come up. All of those that are going on the Brazil mission trip, I ask you to come up here. We're going to dedicate this trip. And then I'm going to have Pastor Dan come up as well. As they're coming up, as most of you know, we're leaving this week. We leave Thursday morning. Our flight's at 7:30 a.m. So that means we have to be at LAX around 4 a.m. And so this is a dedicated gang of people. But as you can see, we have a pretty good group. We have 29 people going, one person meeting us later on in the trip. That guy right there. And it's really exciting. We're going to be partnering with Amazon Lifesavers and ADRA. And, you know, it's a day, like, chug boat ride out into the Amazon to work with the indigenous tribes. And so it's pretty beautiful that this group is willing to go out of their comfort zone so much that we have to have a satellite phone in order to communicate with any human being. And they're going to be off social media. They're going to be eating the food that is handed them. They're sleeping in hammocks. So this is a truly dedicated group. And we're very excited to be able to go as a community. So at this time, I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Dan to pray for our group.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this group. It wasn't very long ago, we had no idea where the money was going to come from. And a good share of these people standing up here had no plans to go. Sarah and I sat down around a sheet of paper and said, okay, what's going to we going to do? And we began to pray, we began to call people, and money began to come, and people began to sign up. And here they are, and their tickets are bought, and we have it, and the boat is there, and they're going to go on this trip. So now, Father, we pray for them as they go Thursday this week. As they get on the plane, may they have a safe trip there. May they make the connection. May they get onto that boat, the Luzerio. And as they go down the Amazon, may that be safe, Father, we pray. But as they match up and go into those villages, we do not know even today exactly what they will do in every one of those villages. But you know what the needs are, and you know what gifts our group has. And we pray you will match that up. And every day they will feel like they were doing exactly what you have called them to do that particular day. And so we pray that they will be Jesus to all those people in those villages. And they will be able to bring people to Jesus and care for needs and touch hearts and whatever it is you want them to do. And this will be a trip that they will never forget, that will change their lives. May they make an impact for you and come back safely to us in a couple weeks and tell us a story and show us pictures. We can't go, but we were a part of it. We raised money. We are part of them. But we're blessing them as they go. And may they have a powerful experience, we pray, as we give this group over to you. Dedicate them to this trip, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.